Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that examines current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. And like the prophets in the Old Testament, we continue to chronicle our nation's descent into the cesspool of immorality. If perhaps someone might see the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Satan, for what they are, and turn toward Christ and his righteous kingdom. That's our goal. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And the latest signs of the times is that on June 24th, President Obama, under the authority of the Antiquities Act of 1906, turned a gay bar in New York City into a national monument. Yes, you heard me correctly. The President of the United States turned a gay bar into a national monument. I mentioned this to someone the other day who had been out of the news cycle, and he couldn't believe it either. Not only did our president last year petition the Supreme Court to make homosexual marriage the law of the land, and not only did he tell the Justice Department to demand that all public schools in America remove gender distinctions from bathrooms, he has now turned Stonewall Inn in New York City into a national monument to commemorate the 1969 scuffle between the homosexuals and the police at that location. And he made this presidential ruling to support the Gay Pride Parade in New York City on that weekend and to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling of Obergefell versus Hodges. Well, maybe all of those stories back in 2009 were true, that Barack Obama was a closet homosexual back in Chicago, and he was known for patronizing the gay bars. Well, whether that's true or not is irrelevant on this issue. One can be a heterosexual and be just as wicked by supporting sexual license and replacing God's moral law with the principle that man is a law unto himself. That whatever is right is whatever gives people freedom. And that is what's being memorialized at Stonewall. The breaking free of God's moral constraints, the throwing off of Christian morality, the freedom to be sexually whatever you want to be. The 1969 event at Stonewall was the homosexuals' Selma, their civil rights protest. And the president has said so on a number of occasions. In his 2013 inaugural address, the president said, "We the people declare today that the most evident truths that all of us are created equal is the star that guides us still. Just as it guided our forebearers through Seneca Falls, Selma, and Stonewall. Our individual freedom is inextricably bound to the freedom of every soul on earth. It is now our generation's task to carry on what those pioneers began." Do you hear the president's ethical ideology? The basis for ethics is freedom. And that's the ethical foundation of hell. Freedom of choice to kill a child in the womb. Freedom to live whatever gender you choose. Freedom from God and the Ten Commandments. We should have seen back in 2013 that the president would turn the so-called birthplace of the homosexual movement into a national monument in order to normalize homosexuality in America. Now, back in 1969, the New York City police were operating on laws prohibiting homosexual activity. And they would raid the Stonewall Inn occasionally, and the men who were dressed up in women's clothing were taken to the station and given a citation. The purpose was to keep down the proliferation of homosexual bars and activity. Proverbs 20:26, "The wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them." But the patrons at Stonewall finally had enough became emboldened and rioted against the police. Greenwich Village is known for being a homosexual enclave. And what this all meant was a cultural change. Police officers who are operating on centuries of Christian law were now in a society that was no longer Christian. It inevitably resulted in a clash. And then the police become more permissive, and society takes one more step towards Sodom. I had a fellow in my church whose wife committed adultery with another man. So this husband went to the police and asked them to arrest the man who committed adultery with his wife. They told him, "Sorry, Mr. So-and-so. Yes, those laws are still in the books, but we don't enforce them anymore." I mean, how can they? The whole society is given over to adultery. And as an example of how ungodly our culture has become, you might have noticed that it's almost impossible to find articles on conservative sites criticizing the president's decision to turn Stonewall into a national monument. Because if you criticize it, you become the target of the LGBT movement. Isaiah 59:15. "He who turns from evil makes himself a prey." I see this declaration of turning the birthplace of the homosexual movement into a national monument as a benchmark event. An event that will go down in history as a historical indicator of America's collapse. I suspect that someday it'll take up pages in a book called The Rise and the Fall of the American Empire. Like the old classic book, The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire. In that work, Edward Gibbons cited examples of Rome's moral decay that led to her demise. Think for a moment about Lincoln's speech designating the Gettysburg battlefield a national monument. Lincoln called Gettysburg hallowed ground to be consecrated, a place of honor for those who sacrifice for liberty. But now our president, 150 years later, makes sacred ground a homosexual bar where vile and unprincipled men shook their fist at God and God's law, where they mocked and disobeyed God's magistrates, where they sought to overturn the Christian foundation of America. This is what the ungodly leaders in America memorialize, what they consider sacred. Hey, we shouldn't be surprised over what the enemies of God memorialize, because these are the people who are told in the book of the Revelation that will send gifts to one another when God's two prophets are put to death. Now, Stonewall is certainly a memorial, but it is not a memorial for what is good, but a memorial for what's evil. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah is God's memorial. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Sodom and Gomorrah are exhibited as examples to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. In the remainder of this program, I want us to learn this truth from Scripture, that what evil men memorialize for good, God does a special work to make sure it becomes a memorial for evil. Take, for example, Auschwitz, the German death camp where 1 million Jews were put to death by the National Socialists in Germany. The Germans in the 1930s probably thought that Auschwitz would someday become a national monument to Hitler's thousand-year Reich and the final defeat of the Jewish people. But today, it is a memorial to the depravity of man. The plaque outside Auschwitz reads, "Forever let this place be a cry of despair and a warning to all humanity." Someday there will be a similar plaque where Stonewall Inn now sits. And you can go online and read all the names of the Germans who ran that death camp. And I have no doubt that someday there will be a hall of shame listing all the names who spoke at the Stonewall dedication service. Valerie Jarrett, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell, New York State Senator Christine Gillibrand, Mayor Bill de Blasio. And the president's name will also be on that list, along with all of the homosexual patrons and those who rioted back in 1969. God sees and God knows. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down, because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. Isaiah 65:14. Behold, my servant will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with a broken spirit. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones. And the Lord God will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name. Now, the LGBT movement is constantly saying that they're going to be on the right side of history. And I suspect they repeat this constantly because they fear in their conscience that it will not be so. And we who know the word know that it will not be so, because God will have his memorials of evil. Isaiah 66:24. They will go forth and look on the corpses of those men who have transgressed against me. Proverbs 10:7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Now, let me give you some biblical examples. The first would be the memorial to Baal built by Ahab and Jezebel that was turned into a public latrine. 2 Kings 10:27. They also broke down the sacred pillars of Baal and broke down the house of Baal. And they made it a latrine to this day. Thus, Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. Now, one might miss the significance of Jehu's reforms. In 1 Kings 16:32, when Ahab and Jezebel came into power, they embarked on a huge building program for Baal. It was similar to the massive building project Solomon undertook to build the house of Jehovah in Jerusalem. You see, Ahab and Jezebel wanted to normalize and establish Baal worship, with all of its immoralities, as the national religion of northern Israel. They want to overturn the law of God and God's covenant with Israel. And they assumed that they were building a memorial to honor Baal for perpetuity. But God pronounced judgment on Ahab and Jezebel, their priests and their project, and God turned their monument to evil into a latrine. In southern Israel at this time, Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, took the throne of Judah. She was put to death, and all the people went into the house of Baal, tore it down, broke it in pieces. They broke in pieces Baal's altar and Baal's image, and they killed the priest of Baal before the altar. In the days of Josiah, king of Judah, 2 Chronicles 34:3, they tore down the altars of Baal in Josiah's presence. The incense that were high above them he chopped down. Also the Ashtoreth and the carved images and the molten images he broke into pieces and ground into powder and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Then he burned the bones of the priests on the altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem. And this was to fulfill a prophecy made 300 years earlier by a prophet of the Lord, who came to King Jeroboam, who was building the first altar to Baal. And this prophet said to King Jeroboam, "Thus saith the Lord, the priests of Baal will someday be burned on the altar to Baal." And thus it came to pass under Josiah. Days of recompense are coming, and it will not be pleasant for those who defy God's law. Same confidence we need to have in regard to the future of Stonewall. Then there is God's pronouncement on the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, or Ben-Hinnom. Jeremiah 7:31, they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I did not command and did not come into my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Topheth, or the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth because there is no other place. The dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. The Valley of the Sons of Hinnom is a valley right outside of Jerusalem to the southwest. It merges into the Kidron Valley on the east of Jerusalem, which is between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. Jerusalem is a mountain that extends out into surrounding valleys. In the Valley of Hinnom was a place called Topheth. The word comes from either Toph, which means a drum, because in child sacrifice, the cries of the children were drowned out by the beating of drums. Or it may come from the Hebrew word Taph, which means to burn. And Topheth was a monument to Baal worship. Jeremiah chapter 32. They built the high places of Baal that are in the valley of Behinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. Also, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 23. How can you say I'm not defiled? Look at your ways in the valley. What did the prophet mean by your ways in the valley? Well, the place of Baal worship was not only the local abortion clinic, it was a place of sexual orgies, like gay bars, bathhouses, and hangouts today. Not unlike Stonewall. The ungodly citizens of Israel built Topheth to practice and promote their godless ideology. But notice what God says he will do to their memorial for evil. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, that it will no longer be called Topheth, or the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. Jeremiah 19:11 says, Topheth will become their grave. And the Babylonians, who were evil themselves, would come into Israel and slaughter all of the immoral Jews. Colin Delitzsch, in his commentary, says that God will make the place of their sin the scene of judgment on the sinners. And the lesson here is that the place is going to become a memorial, but not what the people expect. God is going to change the meaning of the place so that it will ever be a memorial to Israel's evil past. Notice Jeremiah 19:7. I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. What does that mean? Their use of that place, the meaning they attribute to it, the ideology promoted through it, will be made void by God. And it's no stretch to conclude that God will someday make void the council of the Obama administration and the LGBT movement. Because no one can successfully defy the law of God. Now, in Jesus' day, the Valley of Behinnom, outside of Jerusalem, was a memorial to Israel's evil past. It was a garbage dump where there would be a constant burning of trash and sewerage. So that there was a constant stench or smoke rising from the valley. The Aramaic word for the Valley of Behinnom was Gehinnom, the word Gehenna. And when Jesus spoke of hell, he called it Gehenna. Matthew 23:15. When you make a convert, you make him twice as much the son of Gehenna as yourselves. Mark 9:47. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into Gehenna. Luke 12:5. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into Gehenna. And the place that was once memorialized by the wicked for its sexual freedom and abortion became synonymous with hell. It was memorialized forever, but not as the ungodly imagined. And although we may be shocked that the ungodly leaders in America would turn a homosexual bar into a national monument representing America's rebellion against God, it must be. God is allowing this so that it will forever be a testimony to the depravity of man. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it on a table before them and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. For the sake of showing the world how rebellion to God leads to perversion and darkness, and to demonstrate the true agenda of Satan, God leaves memorials to sin on earth, like the Nazi death camps, where prisoners hid in canisters, written accounts of the atrocities of the prison guards, and in the unearthing of Pompeii, where archaeologists discovered the depravity of ancient Rome. Statues of phalluses were everywhere throughout the city. Psalm 59:10 is an interesting psalm. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphant on my enemies. Do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. You see, the psalmist understood that God must leave evil people on earth and memorials to evil on earth as examples. So, Lord, do not kill them, but scatter and shame them. There must be a witness remaining as to what a culture or an individual becomes when he abandons God. Now, there are many other texts in the scriptures that tell us eventually the memory of the wicked will be forgotten, such as Psalm 34:16. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But that appears to be in regard to eternity in heaven, on the new heaven and the new earth. But as far as God's work in this world, in this age, sometimes he allows the wicked to build their monuments so they testify to their sin and eventual defeat. Step back and think about what these prophets of the Lord were being called to communicate to the people. God's warning that he will not be mocked or proven wrong, that the wickedness of the wicked will be turned upon their own heads. Psalm 94:23, he has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Psalm 7:16, his mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own path. And the church today, out of love and compassion, ought to carry the same confident message of warning and pity to the unsaved. This was not just the message of the Old Testament prophets. Even Paul announced to the worldly philosophers on Mars Hill, Acts 17, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or other past programs. Or you can send me an email with questions, comments, or insights. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to hear the word of the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to have confidence in your sovereign authority over this world and your victory over sin. But as you are long-suffering and patient with the most rebellious and hard-hearted sinners, help us to be the same. Help us to weep, and to witness, and to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.